Views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is finally, I don't even know the days of the week. Today, yesterday was Monday, so they got to be Tuesday. Tuesday, August 25th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. I have a serious topic that I want to discuss today. It's something I've been working on for a while and trying to book the show in order to hash out some ideas of what we need to be doing. It's a sober topic. It's a sober topic with some, you know, when you have those topics and you just don't know how to start it, but it's important for the psyche of the Bahamas. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read a response that I came across on social media by Miss Sue Fairclough. Miss Sue Fairclough being living in the Bahamas for decades, right? And she's an advocate. She speaks out. In fact, she has a history of advocacy work in the Bahamas. And something happened recently that caused her, forced her to write, go to social media and vent her frustration in her desperation of having a better Bahamas. She said, something must be done. And I came across it and I said, I need to invite her on to understand exactly what is she advocating about. I'm going to read what she wrote, and then I'm going to have a conversation based on that, right? My guest today is Miss Sue Fairclough, and I'm going to introduce her formally, and she'll tell you who she is shortly. We had an incident the other day about sexual assault of Bahamian women, right? It seemed to be an increase or a spike. And we had a conversation about what is consent, right? And we had, without that response, there seemed to be some victim blaming, or as people, as Bahamians try to get to the truth, they start asking some pertinent questions, right? And I wanted to know, what did that do to those persons who are victim of sexual assault? What should the conversation be like when you're dealing with persons who are victims of sexual assault? What are the right verbiage, words? How do you help? What do you say? Do not say, right? This is what the conversation is going to be about. But let me read this to you right now. This is Sue Fairclough in a post she did 6 days ago. Thoughts on the recent rape of a young woman in the Bahamas and the subsequent social media and print fallout. I have, in response to a request to do the same, made this post public and shareable. The more we talk about this particular incident and call it as it is, which is rape, the better. For those who have been spared the details on the voice notes, the young man described in full detail having vaginal penetrative sex and ejaculating. The young woman was at the same in and out of consciousness and had not given full or informed consent to any degree of intimacy. She was not just raped, but this act of violence was subsequently described saliciously via a voice note created by the perpetrator and addressed to an unnamed recipient. This same voice note and the recipient's callous and cruel responses were then leaked, uploaded, and widely shared on social media. In all of the discussion following, the victim, who has now been doubly abused in person and in cyberspace, has become almost invisible. there is more conversation about and speculation as to the identity of the voice note recipient, the motivation, action, and mindset of the perpetrator, and the defensive responses of his mother than as to the young lady's physical and mental status and the necessary care she should be receiving. There is more interest in the response of and impact of the reputation of FOAM Foom, the perpetrator's mother being a then senior official with the organization which is pledged to support survivors of violence, than the long-term impact to the young woman who was brutally violated. The comments of many in social media threads focusing on this incident are beyond distressing, but show how deeply ingrained institutionalized deplorable responses to sexual violence in the Bahamian society truly are. The victim blaming and the minimizing, the female internalized misogyny, the toxic masculinity, denial, the rationalization and sacrimonious religiosity, the patriarchy, the legal biases, the plain and unadulterated ignorance, the gender wars, and the failures of the court, legal, and social welfare services are not going away. In fact, the more they are challenged, the harder the system pushes back to maintain the status quo. And again, this was written 6 days ago by Sue Fairclough. And I have her in studio because I said that was a poignant response regarding the issue. Just to remind people, what are we talking about? A young lady, was claimed that she was sexually assaulted, right? Initially, people on social media was abuzz giving their opinion on whether the details is true or not, or believable or not. Then circulating was a voice note, right, where it seemed as if the person, the perpetrator, was confessing or giving evidence or giving details on what actually happened, and it seems as if definitely that there was no consent involved, right, and it seemed as if he was bragging in this voice note, right. Then there was a back and forth on who the voice note was sent to, and the defense of the accused mother of her son, and how she defended her son in that. But nobody spoke about the victim. The conversation moved away from the victim, or the alleged victim, or the victim who went to the police, and moved toward what is expected of family members, what is expected of friends, and not considering those intimately involved. And this is why Sue Fairclough spoke out. And I welcome again Ms. Fairclough. We come a little closer to the mic. Something incensed you to speak. And I want to understand what was it that incensed you, and so we can have this conversation on what should we be doing.
Okay, well, firstly, thank you very much for the invitation, and greetings to the listeners in the Bahamas. I've, as you mentioned, been living in the Bahamas from 1982, and I originally came to work at Sandilands as a psychiatrist, which I did for over 20 years, and now I'm happily retired. But I've also been involved with the Bahamas Crisis Centre, which actually started just shortly after I arrived. So I've been involved with the inception of this. Currently, I still do quite a lot of hotline work with them, and I do training of volunteers. And when we are dealing with our people who are interested in helping the Crisis Centre, we point out that we support survivors of all domestic and sexual violence. And this is men, women, boys and girls. And our focus has got to be on the victim, on the person who has suffered an assault in whatever form it is, or whatever form of abuse. So we put them front and centre. And the fact that all of the social media, largely the social media chatter, was based on peripheral figures on the alleged assailant, on this poor girl who is 18, was like, as I said, became invisible. And it's something that I feel very strongly about, that we need to kind of focus on who is important in this issue.
But let me stop you there. Who is important in this issue? One of the defense was that you're innocent until proven guilty. One of the persons on the voice note said that, and who's involved in the whole conversation, said she had a friend who was accused by a woman before. And this is why she injected herself inside this national conversation, this debate, to say there is doubt. And even though this particular person was a part of a network that defends or help victims, she seemingly put the victim aside and said, but she don't know what to believe or what to do, because in this society, the Bahamas, too many people accusing people of things.
I've heard this argument many times before. Statistically, there are far more people who are sexually assaulted, raped, and sexually abused who never report the issue than there are people who do make false claims. If you look at things globally and you look at statistics from here, yes, there may be occasionally people who will make a not entirely accurate report, but the majority of people who do actually have the strength to report things in the first instance, to be faced with this disbelief, and then to actually have the fortitude to go through the whole court system, which can be re-victimization.
Mm.
You know, these people, the people who have been assaulted, are very much more prevalent than anybody who would have maliciously or for whatever other reason reported something which is a falsehood. So we have to look on, you know, the old saying, if you're going down Bay Street and you hear hooves, what you expect to see behind you is going to be a Surrey. It's not going to be a unicorn.
Mm.
So likewise, if somebody comes and reports that they have been sexually assaulted, the facts, the solid facts say that the likelihood of this being true much outweigh the fact that it's a falsehood. We have to bear that in mind.
So, and I can bring a scenario because I want you to hash it out. A victim goes to the police. She accuses somebody of sexually assaulting her. I am now a part of the general public. I becomes now a part of the news or the press release from the police officers and said, we've had a claim of sexual assault. We are investigating the issue in order to see if we can find the perpetrator. Then if we find the perpetrator, ascertain if enough evidence, and then lay charges, right? And now the Bahamian populace is listening to this. Mm-hmm. And now we are concluding and judging, drawing conclusion on what occurred based on what has been reported, right?
Right.
What should we be doing as Bahamian populace?
Well, let's look at firstly at what does happen and which has happened with this case, and with, interestingly enough, about four or five subsequent reports of women reporting being sexually assaulted. But let's just focus on this one incident.
Yes.
People were saying, what was an 18-year-old doing out at that time of night?
Mm-hmm.
What was an 18-year-old doing with driving in a vehicle with people she didn't know?
Strangers.
What was an 18-year-old doing, presumably drinking, because this was the assumption, mm-hmm. that the reason she was in and out of consciousness was because she had been drinking.
Yeah, so he claimed it was self-inflicted.
Yeah, exactly. There were fingers pointed at her choice of friend, because a friend had... There had been initially two young ladies mm-hmm. in a car with two guys, I believe, mm-hmm. and the other young lady and the other guy had been dropped off subsequently, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, what kind of friend is she to this young girl to leave her? Looking at my argument of this, well, two things rise from this kind of attitude that we've got to challenge. Firstly, when you're 18, you're not an adult. Brain-wise, your brain has not actually finished wiring until you're about 21. So 18-year-olds do not think like a 20-year-old, a 30-year-old, a 40-year-old. When you're 18 and a teenager, and I know it's a long time since I was there, but I can remember what it was like. You are feeling your oats, you're beginning to work to independence, you're looking at a life ahead, you're basically invincible. You know, inside your mind, nothing bad's going to happen to you. Mm. You're not going to die. Nobody's going to do anything to you. You're going to take risks and you're going to maybe make some decisions which are probably not of the best choices. But as far as I'm aware, making a poor choice is not a criminal offence in this country or anywhere else. Hmm. Raping somebody is. Secondly, we talk about the wiring of the brain and we talk about those poor choices. You know, there are Venn diagrams and there are memes out there which sort of say that women or girls are sexually assaulted because of what they wear, how they behave, where they are, whether they've been drinking or not. There's not much focus put on the fact that the main cause of rape is a rapist.
It says only the rapist to be blamed? How the woman dress, her actions, putting her in the situation, none of that is mitigating the circumstances? Say, man, that you caused yourself to get assaulted.
Yeah, I've heard that one too, but consider that we've had situations in this country where 80-year-old women have been raped at home. I'm sure they've not been dressed in a very provocative fashion. Mm. We have nuns that are raped. We have children. Now the statute book here refers to children under the age of 16. If they have been raped, it's referred to as sexual assault.
Let's pause there for a minute, because the narrative and the definition of rape has changed, and you hinted towards it just now. In nowadays, we don't use the word rape frequently. We use this word sexual assault, and you give a reason for that or hinted towards that just now.
The legal framework, and that's the way the statutes are set up. But rape is rape. Let's say, put it this way. Rape is not sex gone bad. Rape is a crime of violence. It's a violent assault. And I will go as far as, let's be very provocative here, that any sex without consent is rape. In this case, if the young lady in question was going in and out of consciousness, it's impossible to give consent when you're not awake. I defy anybody to argue that point to me.
But then let's go, because like I said, I'm still concerned with the definition of sexual assault versus rape. But If I am out with a girlfriend, we are both inebriated, both drunk, we both drinking.
Right.
Our seltzers are dull. Or I might not be drinking.
Right.
But she was all over me, kissing me and said, appreciate that I buying her drinks. I bought her food. Right.
Right.
We were kissing throughout. Or being intimate throughout the date. And she gave consent inside the car and said, I feeling you. You can take advantage of this. But I can see she's drunk. I see she's a little off, right? But I asked her, you say, you sure? And she, in her drunk state, said, my sure. Use man. Show me use man.
Right.
How I getting blame?
Well, if she then changes her mind.
No, she say she keep it, say she wanted, but she drunk. She just completely out. She drunk.
If she's completely out and unconscious, it doesn't matter. Okay, she may well have agreed to you touching her up. She may well have agreed to every form of intimacy that happened before she passed into unconsciousness, right? After that point, she cannot agree. And then you mentioned consent, and consent is not as simple as it appears. And this is where we run into some areas that people have problems with. Just stepping back to the rape and the sexual assault thing, you know, statute book, you know, it's referred to sexual assault if it's a child. Sexual assault of an adult woman differs from rape of an adult woman because the Bahamian law states that rape involves penetration with a penis, right? If you were to finger a woman or have oral sex with a woman without her consent, it would not be legally classified as rape, but it would be classified as sexual assault. And that is because of the very narrow definition of what rape is, you know, under Bahamian law at this point of time. Reverting to consent, there's an acronym that people now use referring to consent. And it's FRIES, FRIES. The F stands for fully informed. So in other words, the person that, I can agree to you kissing me, I can agree to you undressing me, I can agree to you fondling my breasts, I can agree to all those things. But that does not mean to say that the assumption is I'm going to agree to anything else. So if you say, let's have sex, here's my condom, and I say no, I've withdrawn consent. I've got to give that consent freely. So in other words, from the very obvious, don't have me at knife point or a gun to my head. But also don't do the emotional blackmail and manipulation and, you know, I's man, and, you know.
I mean, I can't emotionally blackmail her. That's wrong.
You lead me on and I'm going to end up with blue balls and I'm going to be really suffering for this, you know.
But that's the thing. I can't say that.
You can say it. You can say it. You can feel it. It's a reality and it's understandable. But what you shouldn't do is then use that as a pressure on the woman to, okay, change your mind and say yes. Again, going with consent, we've got to look at, you know, I say to you, hey, you want to come back to mine and then we'll do the Netflix and I'll get a pizza and then we'll go upstairs, you know, have a bit of fun and I'll take you home in the morning.
Netflix and chill, yes.
And I go, yeah, you know, and we get home and we're watching a movie.
I then buy the pizza?
Well, no, you might have turned out to be a bit cheap and forget about the pizza.
Okay, because if I didn't buy the pizza, that's a done deal. That's a contract. I'm just saying, but go ahead, go ahead.
But anyway, whether we've eaten or not the pizza, and then all of a sudden you say, or whoever in case says, let's go upstairs now then, eh, how about it? And I go, I don't really know.
What?
That's not giving consent. That's not giving consent. That's not showing I'm not really, really, really into this. Hmm. You know, this shows that I've got some concerns about this and I'm not really happy about doing this. Right? Moving on again with this whole consent thing is that I can tell you one day we have sex, you come banging on my door the next day and I expect the same thing going to happen and I tell you no. That's my rights. If I agree to something one time, it does not mean I agree to it from here on in. There's a very interesting, and it came out all over the internet, and it's quite entertaining, and it was brought out by police in the UK. And it's a small cartoon video about what consent is. And it compares having sex with making somebody a cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
And if you Google, it comes up. And it basically goes all through this thing that it will say, you say to me, would you like a cup of tea? You know, and here we're using it as a euphemism, yes. Obviously. And then I say, oh, yeah, I'd love a cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
So you go running off into the kitchen and you boil the kettle and you put the tea bag and, you know, you ask me if I want cream and sugar. And then you come and bring me the tea. And I say, you know, I've changed my mind. No, I don't really want the tea.
Can't force me to drink it.
Can't force me to drink it. If you do try and force me to drink it, you're out of order.
Mm.
You know? If we have tea one night and then the following morning you're round at my door knocking there with a cup of tea in your hand saying, I've come to have some tea again, we're out of order. If you've gone to make the tea and you come back and I've fallen asleep on the couch or I'm no longer with it, you can't pour that tea down my throat. You'd be out of order. You have to be, okay, well, better throw the tea down the sink.
Ms. Fairclough, we have a caller here who wants to engage you, but clearly we have a consensual actualization of what is consent problem mm-hmm. inside or situation inside the Bahamas. We do not understand what consent is mm-hmm. or how women perceive consent and mm-hmm. how men perceive consent may be different, right? And if it is a difference, someone needs to educate Bahamian men on what's consent. Because, let me put this to you, if we go on a date as mature adults, and I can use you and I inside this conversation. Right. I bought you lunch, I bought you dinner, you promised me, said, boy, I never had this experience before with a Bahamian man, I can fix you up later.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I continue to wine and dine you, and later comes. And you take me home, and you say, boy, I can show you my appreciation.
Right.
And then you change your mind. You can't change your mind. Just not, I didn't spend my money. And I said, something is wrong, because a number of men saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is what a number of men are saying, someone needs to educate us differently.
Right. And I think this comes into the kind of concept. And this is not just a Bahamian thing, trust me. It's not just a Bahamian thing. This concept that sex is transactional, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if I buy you dinner,
mm-hmm.
you give me sex, you know.
Good trade. Good trade.
Yeah, but is it trade? Is it trade?
Exchange.
Is intimacy meant to be a business deal?
It's a business.
I disagree with you.
What?
But that concept, you know, and it sticks with women too. You know, women will say, I'm bringing my body.
Yes.
And what are you bringing?
At the table.
You one broke man without a job and bad teeth. you know, mm-hmm. and you dress bad. You know, I'm not having sex with you. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a two-way, the transactional thing is a two-way thing.
We're a transactional society, right. And now that's confusing us.
And that has become an issue. And I think we have to probably revise how we're looking at how we deal with one another. I find it difficult, and I think it's because I've lived very independently for a very long time. Mm. You know, even before I came here. You know, I was on my own from when I was 17. Mm-hmm. I've had long relationships, but I've never... There have been partnerships, mm. not being kept or not expecting tit for tat. You know, you're working together. But I know it's a difficult... But that is one thing. And the other thing is that there is this... And again, it's not just Bahamian, this whole kind of gender role thing and going on, that boys will be boys.
Yes. Yeah. That's a man thing.
And girls will be girls.
That's a woman thing.
Yeah, boys are in... Certainly when I grew up, there was a myth that you could tell when a pregnant woman was having a boy or a girl mm. by taking a ring, putting on a bit of string, holding it over the belly. And if it swung back and forth in a line, it was a boy. And if it went in a circle, it was a girl. Because somehow or other, there was different electricity coming from male and female fetuses. Mm. You know, but, you know, we dress little boys in blue and girls in pink. We don't dress little boys in lemon very much. Mm. When they get older, little boys play with cars and guns and little girls play with dolls and... Boys are allowed to roam and play out, and girls stay home and help their mum. And when we get into the sexual aspect of things, boys will be boys, men will be men.
Yes.
And it's up to the women to control, protect their virtue, if you like. Yeah.
I want to go in detail. Let's get this caller first, and then there's a number of texts. Because I always thought women protect their virtue. It's not up to me, man. To now, I have to help her help herself. So, mm-hmm. okay, you're drunk now. I got to now protect you from me. I thought you just protect you from your own self. And if you let me... Anyway, let's go to the caller. And then I go to the text line. And then you respond to these okay. texts. Go ahead, caller. Guide and read your AM. You're live.
Good morning to you and your guests. How you doing?
Doing well.
Right. I don't think, as related to your guests, I don't think anyone take what happened to the young lady as nothing but horrific. That's not even a question. But what I normally find when it comes to these discussions is you start at the premise of the man is the villain and the woman is always the victim. And that's where this issue lies with me. It's always the woman is the innocent angel and the man is the big bad wolf. And if you have brothers or male relatives who ever been falsely accused, your perception would drastically change. Women are not always innocent. Women are not always this meek thing that can't lie. Rape and consent seems to be only one-sided. And that's, you got to be objective. Because typically when you hear about men tend to get harassed or if we both are drunk, like the scenario CA was proposing, if a man and a woman are both drunk, they still would... The man automatically will get blamed, regardless if all two of them are drunk together. So we start off the premise as the man is the bad person. And in the Bahamas, you as a man, if a woman accuses you of rape or anything domestic, you get automatically they look at you as guilty, and you have to prove yourself innocent. So typically, when you have these activists who come on, they come with the premise as a biased premise as men are. The perpetrator already. So in the Bahamas, I don't know about around the world, but in the Bahamas, sadly, a woman could accuse a man, and typically nothing happened to her. Even if you found out weeks later, your reputation could be in shambles. But nothing typically happened to the woman who accused you, and people still will look at you with a jaundiced eye and say, yeah, that's CA. Yeah, he got off, but he probably pay off somebody. That's why he get off. And sadly, that happens a lot in the Bahamas. You don't hear about it. And my last point before I hang up, what tends to happen here as well, you have a lot of underreporting by men, because sadly in this country, no one really takes men seriously. How could you say I was raped by a woman, or they did anything to me, or they abused me? Typically you get laughed at the station, or people will say, why are you so man? You're supposed to like that. So I'm saying, when you have these arguments, you can't start off with the premise. And this is why you have young boys and men who don't come forward, because they know they can get laughed at or victimized or looked at as the perpetrator from the onset. And I'll hang up on this.
Thanks. Ms. Fairclough, before you respond to that, there's a gender war going around the world, and now it has come home to the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. There's a gender war where Bahamian men, watch where I'm going with this, Bahamian husbands are terrified of their wives and their women, folks. They believe y'all can lie on us. That's why we don't have that can't marry you can't rape your wife now, because we're terrified that there are some women who are sinister, who are evil and wicked and vile, who would lie and say they got sexually assaulted just to seek revenge. And now we having the men, and even some mothers now saying, no, not my good child, and it's impacting women, mm-hmm, who are being generally sexually assaulted.
Yeah.
Because we men are terrified of y'all. What do you say?
Well, I'm just going back to the last point the caller made, which I appreciate, which I agree with him. There are a lot of men who are abused by women domestically. It is possible for a man to be raped by a woman. I have never said, or I didn't intend to come across as saying, that all men are rapists, that all men are potentially abusers, because that is not the case. However, when we look again at figures, most people who are raped and abused are women, and they are raped and abused by men. We can't deny that. We can't push that under the rug and pretend it doesn't happen. Reverting to women are making you all terrified and frightened of them, because you are afraid that we are going to lie about you abusing us. Is that what you're telling me?
That's what some people are saying.
Okay. First of all, in that case, if you're scared of what you think I might do, not what I have done, not what I have threatened to do, not what I have promised to do. In fact, if you're afraid of something which hasn't actually happened, that's a you issue, that's not a me issue.
Mm.
You know, so maybe we have to look at wondering why you have that fear.
Mm-hmm.
Putting it back on its head, there are also a lot of women who are living in scenes of domestic terrorism who have been beaten, who have been abused, who have been violently assaulted on a regular basis by their partners, and they are living with a reality. They've got a reason to be afraid.
Mm.
We hear that it's unfair. It's unfair that whatever we do, you know, the man thing, I didn't do anything. It was made up. It was exaggerated. But yet people believe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Back in my youth of psychiatric days, I've interviewed a lot of murderers at the prison. including people who had applied for the prerogative of mercy. So you'd have to go in and kind of run over what their charges were and what their attitude was. And I found a long time ago that you never say to anybody in prison, what did you do? Because they will say, nothing.
I did nothing. We can break right there. I want to continue that. But the music is playing. We can take a commercial break. We're talking to Sue Fairclough. We're talking about how we should be interacting with victims and also victim blaming. And we're using her experience in the psychiatric field as an advocate to juxtapose what's happening. Well, I see you call on the line. We're going to take this quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I avoid?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Attention island game players. Percy's pension plan is now accepting applications. Deposit $25 and you are officially in the running for a weekly salary of up to $1,000 a week for a full year. Applications close September 8th. Apply now at theislandgame.com.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
We're going to give you a check every week for a year.
Percy Fenton Plan, Island Game, keep you winning. Percy Fenton Plan, dream big, we will help you live it. Percy Fenton Plan, Island Game, we got you. Percy Fenton Plan, from the friends you can trust, if winning is a must. Come play the game you know, cause your best chance is with us. The most trustworthy name is Percy's Island Game. So put 20 on your account and ride this easy train at Percy's Island Game.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. I see we have a caller on hold, but before we go to the caller, I'm just going to say that afternoons are going to be sounding very different on Guardian Radio. It says, preparing next Monday. It's going to be a new program called Strictly Speaking with Earl Thompson. It starts at 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. It's every Monday through Thursday. And on Fridays, there's Talk to Me with Gabby McKenzie Ineas. And that's going to be from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. beginning Friday, September 4th. And coming on Sundays, beginning September 6th, Anku Sara is Unplugged from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Plus, stay tuned for more exciting news about our fall lineup on Guardian Radio 96.9. Let me go to this caller here. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Guardian Radio AM, you live. Call again once. Oh, I have to go to the text. Okay, we clear the line. You call now at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. I see the caller call back. Let's engage the caller so she can speak, so he, the person can speak to Sue McClough. I just forget her. Yes, Fairclough. Go ahead, caller. Guiding reader, AM, you live.
Good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
The gentleman that called in the Puerto Rico, he was talking about women, I guess. He's trying to say that women coming off as innocent. I didn't get that from what you say.
Mm.
Or trying to make it seem like men are the big bad wolf. You know, I have lived in this country now close to 50 years. And I've come to realize that in the Bahamas, men have been getting away with doing things to women over the years. And how Mr. Newry was talking about some men are, I guess, somewhat afraid that their wife may accuse them of rape. Those men have to consider what it is that they have been doing to those wives to make themselves have such a feeling. Because if you know the way you treat your wife or was treating your wife, may come off as such, then that means you was doing the wrong thing all along and just thought it was okay. Some women, at some level, have been taken advantage of by either their boyfriends or their husbands and or other men in the community from time to time over the years. And this is now that it's coming out, now some men must speak out and say, oh, he can lie on me. If you're not doing something, why would I lie on you? I'm a woman. I would never lie on my husband.
Here, here. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I'm not trying to get at him to say, get back at him if he didn't give me any money or no. Most women are not that petty. If we come after you, you've been doing something to cause that. Some are wicked now. I ain't gonna lie to you. Some are wicked, but for the majority, no, women are not out there trying to get men. No.
I appreciate you. I'm going to do some rapid questions, Sue. So let me see if you can, because it's several from text. It says, there are women who respond that the survivors probably deserve it. Why is that happening? That other women saying more likely the woman deserve it. I know you can deserve rape, but go ahead.
Okay. I think following the, it's kind of falling into kind of, if you like, women role stereotypes that's, I was kind of trying to touch on this, that there is another concept in this whole kind of like gender interaction, that women, we have to oscillate, if you like, between being virginal and being whores.
Mm.
You know, so we have to be the nurturers, the homemakers, the carers. And at the same time, when you get us in the bedroom, we've got to be wild.
Complete reverse.
And, you know, it becomes very easy to kind of then categorize women along that continuum. You know, so there are some women who are, in parentheses, bad. You know, they're sexual, they're party animals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the other ones are the ideal kind of Madonnas, if you like, you know. And it's,
I can interrupt you and then put this question to you. The other day we had a South American woman who said that she was sexually assaulted. She went out naked, right?
Mm-hmm.
And immediately, Bahamians, men, women, said more likely that was an exchange gone bad and that's why she claiming rape, right? They didn't care about that a woman is claiming that she was sexually assaulted, they automatically demonized her. What happened there?
Well, this is the typical, if you say, victim blaming. This is, in a way, there's a lot of kind of some unconscious dynamics going on in the head there. You know, that, yeah, maybe I'm potentially a victim, but I don't want to think I am. So I will look at that woman as something I'm not. I look at myself as being a good woman,
mm-hmm.
a stay-at-home woman, a good mother. You know, I'm going to be safe. And she Well, it must be something wrong with her.
Mm.
You know, no, it's a bit like saying blaming a bank manager for a robbery because you've got all this money in your building.
Mm.
You know, or blaming a shopkeeper for people shoplifting.
That doesn't, wealth.
That doesn't make sense. Don't you realise you've got a shop and you know a lot of people out there starving? True. You know a lot of people can't afford your goods? True. So you're really asking to be robbed?
Mm.
No, you're not. Certain people will attempt to rob from you. But it's nothing to do with the fact of what you've got or how you're behaving.
Mm-hmm. We have another telephone call. Let me engage this person here. Go ahead, caller, quickly with Sue. Caller, are you there? Caller, girl, went.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to thank her firstly for giving me a good joke when she mentioned blue balls. It was kind of like, I didn't even know it still existed. I didn't remember as a teenager, you know, but it's quite pathetic that they would use that excuse to violate a woman. And so even relate to this, and she was correct about the last transactional scenario that she commented on. Because, you know, as an adult man, if you were engaging in transactional sex, whether you're satisfied or not, the person, you agree to this and that. So I don't buy into that immaturity at that level. But for me, the gentleman that called and talked about men being accused, right? You know, I have been accused by a fiance that I had, one of our adopted daughters, but it was actually one of her children that was doing the molestation. So what it did for me and the repercussions, I never try to get close with any stepchild or any child that's outside of my own fatherhood. That's just what the effect it had on me, because I'm not going to subject myself to being accused anymore, so I don't show any affection to any child that I have had with any woman prior that was not my own. And I grew up in a house with a lot of nieces and nephews, never had those problems. My family is actually vexed for them. So in other words, what I'm saying is that it has a repercussion to it, but I'm not going to buy into men are being, I've had a female try to, one night I was by her house, she wake up on top of me and I pushed her off. I didn't want to have sex, but that's not the report. But what I'm saying is, for me, rape is rape, And that's it. So violating a woman without, I just can't, it's unacceptable to have sex with a woman. One of the cases, I didn't know if you mentioned this, and Mr. Woman said she realized she had been raped and somebody sent her a video with somebody having sex with her. I thought that was disgusting. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. This text says, is this another telephone call there, Kermit, before I move on to these text lines? So she'll get the last word. Says, good morning, I'm a 40, oh, someone calling now. Let me get this caller. I'm trying to get as many callers in. Go ahead, caller. You're live. You'll be the last caller for the day. Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead. You're live.
Yeah. First time caller. For the lady who does say woman out there don't look for man, I don't think she was, I think she's wrong about that. Because when I was 12 years old, I had a woman older than me who touched me. I know what I was doing. So we do have older women prey on younger guys out there. Simply if you go fish fry, or if you're going to go by a place called on a place you dress nice, you do have older women prey on younger guys. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, my sympathy for you being targeted and molested when you were 12 by that older woman. That's most unfortunate. Let's read these texts so Suga have the last word. Say, good morning. I am a 40-year-old man. I don't want sex if I have to take it. If I have to hold someone down, that is not me. I have a mom, aunt, nieces, and I wouldn't want anyone to hold them down. That's that text there. This text says, I am curious what you all mean when you all say victim blaming. A predator will be a predator no matter what you all say. Discuss our laws that are passed. Is victim blaming telling my daughter to be careful, watch her surroundings, and don't catch rides with strangers? So confusing. You don't want to get involved unless the female is related to you. First time I heard a Bahamian woman break it down so raw, I take back my first text. I see what she's saying. Humans will make bad choices because of its life. They shouldn't be raped for that. In my day, I went out and got drunk. I would not want a gay predator to rape me. Just writing that freaking me out. As that person says, they take back what he said earlier. This text says, if a victim drives a car, it's stolen from him. Do we blame the owner of the car for being out that kind of time, or the thief? Then how do we blame the victim of rape, ignoring the voice of the woman about her own body to honor the voices of in her mind. That's what I'm trying to say. But I can leave you the last word there, Sue.
Okay. Interesting point the lady made in the text about how she is educating a daughter in street smarts, basically. That's what she's saying, which is admirable. And yes, you need to do that with your kids. You need to make them street smart. I don't care where you live, that you need that. The interesting thing is, I wonder how many men are teaching their sons how to behave in public that doesn't make women potentially scared of them.
Mm.
That's something we may need to think about. You know, I've said to grown men, have you ever in your life walked from a food store across a half-empty car park with your keys in your fist and that car key protruding between your knuckles?
Mm.
Because you know, if somebody comes at you from behind or at front, you can give them one good jab in the genitals of the eye. Have you ever felt you need to do that?
Mm.
And they say no.
And there are women in the Bahamas who have that fear.
There are women
constant.
All over the world with that fear, you know. And we have to look at, you know, just as we teach our girls how to be safe or how to be street smart, let's teach the boys how to behave in public that doesn't make other people, even the other guys, feel that they're threatening in some way.
Yes, I'd like to thank you. That's Sue Faircloth. Thank you very much for making time out to come and speak to me on this topic. We need to have more conversation. Again, that's Miss Sue Faircloth who joined me. And we're talking about men and women relations, particularly in the Bahamas. In the Bahamas, we're talking about rape. We're talking about victim blaming. We talk about all of that. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. You have a wonderful day.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.